This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Melaghana's Edwards Johnson, the team that gives you more. Visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Nate.
Yeah.
Something I've had a bit of a bad track record in the last 2 weeks is date night.
Right.
Been getting that wrong in a pretty big way.
How so? Run us through the couple of dates.
So, last week, took my girlfriend out for dinner. She got food poisoning from the restaurant we chose to go to.
Yep.
Last night was probably a little bit worse.
Okay.
But also much better. She's not going to be sick long term.
Yeah.
But I took her 10-pin bowling and absolutely flogged her.
Okay.
Like I'm talking embarrassing. Like, it, she was on like 49 at the end of the game and I was on like 160.
Right, okay.
It was a demolition.
It was embarrassing.
And I don't think it was a great vibe on the cart ride home.
No, I wouldn't imagine.
It was like, what have you done? Yeah. Why have you taken me to this thing you're clearly so very good at?
Yeah.
And I started to think to myself, I'm like, why did I do this actually? This was a silly thing to do. This was a bad date idea.
Bowling as a date is a bad idea, I think.
Oh, come on.
In general.
It's fun. You know,
I don't like bowling.
I know you don't like bowling. And this is what I actually, because I mean, I'm going to obviously have to go back to the drawing board with date night. There's got to be something I can think of
just
that's
for
better.
The record, just before we move on, the restaurant thing wasn't your ideal fault. You didn't tell her to order whatever or she ordered and got sick.
Yeah.
You decided to take her to bowling and flog her.
I kind of forget how very good I am at 10-pin bowling.
Yeah, but you can be bad. When you are 100 points in front of your girlfriend, maybe don't go, yeah, this is where I really drive the boot in. Go, I'm going to throw a gutter ball.
No, but she knows. That's what she said, because I actually really started to stink up the joint in the last game. She was like, you're letting me win. I'm like, I'm really not.
Yeah.
But I still ended up bringing it home with a solid win.
In the last frame,
by the way, two strikes in a row.
I love that you're like, I just can't be bad.
Can I ask?
It's impossible for me to be bad at bowling.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Just pivoting away from date night for a second,
and
just going more to our friendship.
Yeah.
You hate bowling. You hate 10-pin bowling.
Yeah,
it's just
like
not
bowling.
A thing you enjoy.
Yeah.
Is that because I'm very good at it?
No.
Mm. I feel like it is a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like you get salty. I feel like
I don't like it. It's insult to injury when I'm not good at it. I've hated bowling since I could hold a bowling ball. I've gone, this isn't for me.
You know what?
The fact that you're incredibly good at it really does not make me want to try it again.
I don't know if that's possible, because all kids seem to love bowling. So I don't know if it's, I think this is something that's
really,
that's come about since you've been friends with me.
You think that I've turned my back on a sport because you are just a fair bit better than me.
Can I ask another follow-up question?
Sure.
Because this one's more important.
Yep.
If I organize future bowling activities with anyone.
Yes.
Will it be seen as me trying to show off?
Absolutely.
My bowling activities are probably going to take a bit of a hit.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
I went and took my sister to lunch yesterday.
That's not very nice to your sister.
Civic, and I was stoked about that.
Oh, okay.
I was very excited. I was very, very excited because it was a bit of a spontaneous lunch, which is kind of the best because you don't really know what you're expecting, and then the food's probably usually fantastic. It was in Garema Place as well, so right in the center of town.
In the hustle and bustle.
And she was like, oh, Canberra's such a good city. It's so cool. It's like very spread out, but it's also like everything you could need. We sat down and started having
our lunch. Did you go on the merry-go-round?
Didn't actually. No,
yeah,
no.
Fine.
Gave it
that's
a miss.
Okay.
We had adult things to do.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
So as we were having our lunch, we decided to order a side of fries to share between the two of us. And because we were sharing them, they were kind of going everywhere a little bit. It wasn't very neat, like in your own little plate.
Which is confusing because the person you first learn to share with is usually your siblings.
Exactly.
So how are you so bad at it?
I think it's just because they're string fries and I was like grabbing like a handful at a time and they're falling off. Literally, I'm not even kidding. I dropped a chip off the table. It just bounced off. Before it even hit the ground, a magpie, because it's spring, there's a fair few of them around Garema, swooped in and grabbed this chip. Before it didn't even hit the ground, it wasn't an intentional drop. It wasn't like I was showing the chip to the magpies and then threw it. Literally dropped, and it swooped in, grabbed it, and then before I knew it, there was about 15 magpies around the table.
Wowee.
Because they were essentially like, oh, well, food's on. Come on, where's our food?
Eagle-eyed magpies.
One of them
magpie-eyed.
One of them jumped up on the table and was just sitting there. next to us.
Chilling.
Chilling. I was like, where's my chip? You gave one to my friend. Where's my chips?
Well, you and your sister both raised in Launceston.
Yeah.
Maybe this magpie's from Lonnie. He's like, you know what? I'm part of the family.
Yeah.
Get me in a bit of this chip action.
I've made the most incredible migration of all
time. It's incredible. It's amazing.
Please, can we not chat?
One of them stole... My wife works in the government. We needed to come here.
One of them actually stole a chip off my plate.
Wow.
I was eating and I was talking and it was kind of off to the side. And the one that was on the table got so close that he did like the... and then just grabbed it and then flew off.
Ooh.
He was so close that's... And then we were like, all right, we should probably go. We'd finished our food. We left it. And then I turned around because I just put a... We had got a blanket from this place. I went and put it inside. And it was... I turned around and one of the magpies was just eating mayo. Not with anything on it.
Yeah, I was about to say
just
that.
Just eating mayo.
Like, you were that intimidated by these magpies and they're that intimidating.
Yeah.
But I'm like, wouldn't surprise me if one of them just starts speaking.
It's yeah.
Like, want to whack a bit of ketchup on that,
yeah,
mate?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, mate, do me a favour. I've got no thumbs.
Chicken salt would be great.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
ask me. Yeah. Why? Yeah. I love a bit of chicken.
Can you order us another round of fries? And you're also paying. It was crazy. It was very intimidating. These magpies were not messing around.
I've had this happen, but with seagulls at the beach.
Oh, yeah, it's
come up
horrible.
To literally the paper, open it up,
yeah.
and then you have your little fish and chips on the beach, and they just will essentially walk over and go, you don't mind if I, whoop, and then run away.
Exactly right. Animals can be very, very crafty and quick when it comes to stealing food.
13, 10, 60.
Yeah.
Have you had an animal steal your food?
Honestly, these will get some incredible stories.
An animal with hands would be amazing.
Like a monkey.
Like a possum or
But if you went to Bali and you went to one of the like temples that have the monkeys there, they steal whatever they want. They steal people's phones, bags, wallets.
Sensational stuff.
Food is like nothing to them.
13, 10, 60. You know what? I'm going to extend this out. Did an animal steal something from you?
It
doesn't even
want,
have to be food.
You want anything.
Yeah, because now you said that thing about the phones. I am so excited to possibly get a call like that.
Yeah.
13, 10, 60.
Did an animal steal something from you?
When did an animal steal something from
you? That's very funny.
Yes, please call 131060.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Right now, 131060, after Ned had a bunch of magpies steal some chips at Garima Place yesterday, we're asking, when has an animal stolen something off you?
Exactly. We're going to make it food, but we want to broaden it out and just
anything.
Let us know if an animal has stolen anything off you.
Nuz on the line from Gungahlin. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, boys.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear, mate. Now, when has this happened to you?
So this happened last year in December.
Yeah, okay.
What happened? What was stolen and who stole it?
Well, it was a burger that was stolen and it was stolen by a monkey. So it was a family trip to Ethiopia in December. And so we've ordered our burgers and we're sitting down. But we didn't realize why the restaurant had actually given us sticks. So we just had sticks sitting with us. And then it wasn't until one of the burgers was stolen from my mom, and then we realized that the stick was there so we can protect ourselves while we're eating our burgers.
So you can ward off the monkeys.
It was a monkey stick.
My God.
Get away.
That is not a normal thing you get at a restaurant.
Fetties for your food.
Yeah. Oh, my God. How nice were the burgers, mate? Were you pretty devastated that one was stolen?
I was devastated, and they're not shy. They will come take it off you if you don't have that stick. They know that.
Wow, right. That's amazing.
It's lucky they only got away with one. Did you, after that one, Nas, were you like, all right, one time stolen?
Yeah, no, yeah. Shame on me. Shame on you.
Yeah.
Shame on me.
Monkey steals a burger once. Shame on me.
There's some the other way around. Yeah, that's all right, mate.
Christ, that got confusing.
Jeez, it really did.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, I would like to speak about potentially when you have hit rock bottom.
Okay. For a lot me of people, personally?
For you as well. You're not there. I'm not saying it's something you've done.
I was going to have that takeaway intervention, mate. I've done it on my own. I'm not eating takeaway anymore.
I don't think you have, but I also don't. I don't regulate what you eat, so I don't know what's actually going on in your life.
Oh,
no, this is a lady who is in Florida. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, that's never really a shock.
Who is hit, in my eyes, rock bottom. She's decided to go to Disneyland, which is, as they say, the happiest place on earth. Nothing should go wrong when you go to Disneyland. It should be a very one-two, like, I know what I'm getting in for. However, she has turned up drunk, which is already a bad idea, then started swearing at families,
mm-hmm.
also a horrible idea.
No, not good, not good.
Then asked the taxi driver for a cigarette, and he said no, and so she tried to slap him.
Oh, my God.
Then she's finally, thank God, been arrested, and then has kicked the police officer that's arrested her. I feel like, and then to top it all off, the little cherry on the top, Mr. Walt Disney himself has handed her a lifetime ban from Disneyland.
Well, that's incredible because he's dead. But yeah. No, so you're saying Disney has
the
handed...
The estate of Disney have been like, hey, you don't get to ever come to Disneyland again.
And just that one or all of the Disneylands?
Apparently all of them. She's just been handed a Disneyland. Maybe she can go to Disney World.
Mm.
Well, this is probably
that
Disney
is
World.
Disney World. Yeah. Florida's Disney World.
But she's just been handed down a lifetime ban.
Yeah, right.
I feel like if you get banned from the happiest place on earth, a lifetime ban from the happiest place on earth, you've hit rock bottom.
Yeah, no, you haven't.
What's the most what do you think?
I mean, don't get me wrong, that's pretty damn close.
I would say it's it. So you must have something if you don't think that's rock bottom.
Getting banned from a public library is rock bottom. They want everyone in there. They want people to come check out everything they've got to offer.
That is true.
If you find some way to get yourself banned from a public library, that is rock bottom.
Yeah, that's like getting like a telemarketer and then going, hey, it's Ned. And they go, oh.
Yeah.
We're actually good. Mm-hmm. Thank you, though.
Pretty much.
Have a good night.
Actually, you know what? Now you've mentioned that, that's probably rock bottom, to be honest, when telemarketers don't even want to talk to you.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, I had my friend Reese here over the weekend.
You did?
I had my sister here over the last couple of days. Very, very exciting. I love having people come and visit because it's so exciting to see them, show them around Canberra, show them what I love, be able to do some fun stuff with people you know.
Yeah, Canberra is a great city to show people around.
It is. It really is.
There's just so much to do. Yeah. So it's actually a really, really fun thing having visitors.
Exactly right. And so I've really enjoyed it. But the thing that no matter where you are is kind of annoying about having guests is like you've got to make sure everything's in order. Like I had to go out and buy groceries for like two people twice this week
okay.
now.
Usually
I buy it just for myself. I had to make sure all the sheets were clean. I had to make sure that like the house was relatively tidy.
Yeah, you have to pretend. You have to do this lie that you don't live like a pig.
And exactly,
That can be exhausting.
Because I live in an apartment by myself. I don't care what my apartment looks like.
Yeah,
as long as it's not dirty to the point of it's making me sick, who cares? But when people come over, you're like, God, I've got to clean up a bit. I did a substandard job when my friend Reese came over on the weekend. And we had work on Sunday. Obviously, we had the classic cruise. So I said to him, hey, man, I've just got to go to work for a couple of hours. Are you right to just hang at home? And he was like, yep, no worries. The day before, though, and this kind of makes me a scumbag because I am manipulating my friends and family, I kept saying to him, like, God, I've got to clean like the outdoor area of like my balcony. It's got dusty out there.
Oh, you're just complaining about
it? Yeah, I was like, I've got to clean the lounge room. I should put on some washing.
God, I see where this is going.
While I was at the Classic Cruise, my friend Reese decided to take up on himself of like, hey, I'm staying here for free. Let me clean up. And he cleaned my entire house, like made it spotless. It was really nice. My sister came over.
My God.
I came to work yesterday and left her at home until like around about midday. And I said to her before, God, my room's so dirty. I've got to do washing.
Yeah, no.
She did all my washing while I was gone. My life hack for you, Canberra, is if you're having someone stay, leave your house a little bit dirty and then just complain about it to them. Be like, God, I just can't find the time to clean my house.
Mm.
And I guarantee you they will clean it while you're gone. You'll have to think of a reason to leave, but after you leave, they'll clean it.
So that is a great thing, and you've got some good people in your life who are obviously willing to help you with that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
I've got one of my best mates coming to stay. The best way to describe his apartment is if police were to break down the door, that assumed there'd been a home invasion.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
If someone had just thrown stuff everywhere looking for something through drawers and that. That's just how he lives in his apartment.
Yeah.
I could say to him, oh, God, my bathroom's a bit dirty. And he would go, no, it's really clean, man. Yeah. What are you talking about? So that will backfire depending on how gross your friends are.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
But Ned, right now, Prince Harry said he gave a speech in 2014 that was the worst speech he's ever given, in his opinion.
What was it about?
He was shaking. He was nervous. I think it was at the Invictus Games. I'm not 100% sure. I just know it was in 2014. But he was very nervous about, you know, getting up in front of people.
A lot of prestige in the Invictus Games.
100%. It's sort of his baby. Like, he's a big supporter of it and all that sort of stuff. So he was very nervous to give the speech. Apparently, there's footage of him, like, visibly kind of shaking.
Trembling,
You kind of think to yourself, like, you know, if you've... if you've watched the King's Speech
with
Colin Firth, you'll know that the Royals, they're just kind of thrust into it.
Yeah, they're kind of just people.
He was he played the King, and the King had a stutter, wasn't a big fan of public speaking, but had to do a lot of it because he was the King.
People want to know what the King's thinking.
Yeah, and so the Harry being a bit nervous here is super relatable.
Yeah, it makes sense.
A lot of people don't like public speaking.
Yeah, exactly right.
Fortunately for the members of my family, we kind of go in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Kind of love a bit of public speaking.
Yeah.
My dad, I feel like genetically this comes from him. My sister's 21st birthday, he did a speech that went not for the tens of minutes, not for the 20s of minutes, but into the 30s of minutes. I think it was about 33 minutes, his speech.
Oh, my God.
At my sister's 21st.
Yeah, he really just got a lot of gear that he wanted to get away.
So as bad as it is to be nervous to speak in public, it can also be very bad to be too comfortable to speak in public. I was trying to give my dad, like, a television producer,
wrap it up, mate,
you've gone for too long,
at
about the 15-minute mark.
Yeah.
And from then, he just took off. Took off about, you know, how life was before Kate, how life is now after Kate.
It's a brief summary.
Everybody's been on with Kate, all this stuff.
Yeah.
I had a 21st that was at a music festival. So I asked my parents. Mum and dad said, here's the money we're going to give you for your 21st.
Yep.
You can spend that how you want because it's your 21st. My cousin did the same thing. And I was like, you know what? That's a cool idea. I'll take a bunch of mates to a music festival. So dad was robbed of a speech at my 21st.
He got it out of the way with his sister.
Did double at my sister's 21st, apparently.
You want to hear the worst speech I've ever heard? I went to, when I was home a couple of times ago, I went to a one of my dad's friend's mother-in-law's, like, 80th birthday.
Yeah,
something
right.
Super weird.
Obscure.
My dad was essentially like, there's going to be free beer there. Do you want to come? And I was like, yeah, sure. Her, my dad's friend, so that's her son-in-law, really enjoyed the free drinks. There was beautiful speeches beforehand. They were going, she's such a beautiful woman.
An 80th is usually pretty...
She's the matriarch of the entire family. She lived through the Tasmanian floods. She loves talking about it and informing people. This guy got up, and I'm not kidding, his first words in this speech were like, he clearly didn't have anything prepared.
Oh,
so he's like, I'm just going to free this. Yeah, I'm just going to freestyle off the top of my head. He goes, so the first time I met, let's say her name's Lorraine. The first time I met Lorraine was I had to come and say that I had to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage because obviously she was up the duff and... And then obviously from there, things got a bit better. I remember you weren't too happy with me the first... And went
this season,
on, rambled for like 20 minutes.
One of the worst things that can happen at a speech, particularly an 80th, for a woman who's lived an incredibly interesting life, is for someone to come up thinking it's the Comedy Central roast of grandma.
Like, no,
it's
one real,
it's not meant to be.
And my dad said to him afterwards, you put a lot of thought into that, did you, mate? And he's like, what? He's like, what do you mean? He's like, what do you mean? What do I mean?
13-10-60. I would love to hear this morning, what is the worst speech you've ever witnessed?
Yeah.
Was it a best man speech? Was it a maid of honor speech? Was it a 21st, an 18th, an engagement party? What is the worst speech you've ever witnessed? Due to its A, maybe inappropriate jokes.
Yep.
B, length. That's going to be a big one, I think.
Yeah.
13-10-60 is the number to call. You know what's another big one for speeches?
Yep.
Microphone's not working properly.
Yeah.
And then, you being at the back of the room.
Yeah. And people trying to go like, hey, is it working? And it's going like,
yeah. 13-10-60. What is the worst speech you've ever witnessed?
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
A motion picture event like no other is coming out today.
Yep. Downton
Abbey movie. Now, look, I have some very exciting news, and that is a development on my Downton Abbey squad that I might be going to see Downton Abbey with, the movie, because you've turned your back on me.
Yep.
All my other friends have turned their back on me.
Yeah, we're trying to do you a solid, and instead you've circumnavigated this pseudo-intervention and have done your own thing.
Television show is usually the fodder of nanas worldwide, and I may have a development on that front, but that's for tomorrow morning's show. So I'm going to have to wait a day, which is frustrating because it does come out today.
Yep. All right. So... what you made me do, because I don't understand Downton Abbey at all.
Yeah, and you've been slinging mud against this show relentlessly. So I said yesterday, watch one episode. If you want to continue mocking it, watch one episode so you can at least see how it does get you sucked in. Like, it's such a engaging storyline.
Exactly. So I went in with an open mind. I decided not to watch the first episode because I don't want exposition. I want, like, the nitty-gritty of it. So I decided to watch season 4, episode 6, for those playing at home. I don't know if that's your favorite episode or what, but it certainly was not mine. I sat
Lord
down.
Grantham has a party and they try and organise a band in secret from him.
So the whole episode is about organising a party in the 19 whatever.
There's other stuff going on as well, but that's
went over my head.
So you're going to give a review now of what you thought of Downton Abbey, and this should be interesting because you've watched one episode completely out of context.
So I was watching the episode, whatever, I was watching them interact with each other, and they cut to inside the Downton Abbey itself, and this conversation is going on.
This is a fine kettle of fish, I must say. Your Uncle Harold is in a proper fix.
Why? What's he done this time?
Something to do with oil leases.
And who's Uncle Harold?
Cora's brother. I always think him rather good at business, if nothing else.
That is the single-handedly most boring conversation I've ever heard on TV. Just when you think, hey, I'll play it again, because the very beginning you think something cool might happen. Something exciting might happen, because he goes,
this is a fine kettle of fish, I must say.
There you go. You think, this is a fine kettle of fish, I must say. And then she's like, what's happened? He goes, oh, bloody Uncle Harold has done something with oil.
You dare and insult Lord Grantham by doing an impression of it.
It's so dumb. It's such a boring conversation. I couldn't believe my ears started bleeding. That's how boring it was. Then
don't get the context.
Okay. Much like the thing before the conversation, this was just thrown into the episode.
Will you really go to America?
Don't worry. I won't go until the pig business is up and running.
What's a pig business? What is this show? Is it about being fancy or is it about... What the hell is a pig business? Is it owning pigs? Is it selling bacon?
They're trying to get the Abbey to be a farming sustainable... Oh, God, you don't understand
the... The pig business. Oh, the pig business. Spare me. Okay, this is the last thing I want to talk about because this was actually the only redeeming feature in this entire show. There was like a 1940s zinger. 1919s. Yeah. God, that makes a lot more sense. There was almost like a zinger thrown in there, like a little bit of a, like, yeah, got ya. Like you might see on like a comedy show.
Fans of the show will understand the dynamic between Mrs. Crawley and the Dowager Countess, played by Maggie Smith, is pretty much the best part of the show.
This is the only part of the show, the episode that I watched, that I enjoyed.
How you hate to be wrong.
I wouldn't know. I'm not familiar with the sensation.
Get lit up.
It's one of the best lines from Maggie Smith, and it just happened to be in the episode you watched.
When I watched it, what I actually wanted to hear was this.
How you hate to be wrong.
I wouldn't know. I'm not familiar with the sensation.
That would have made it better. They didn't do that, and I hated every second of it.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
It is Thursday the 12th of September today, which is Are You Okay Day.
Yep.
Now, if you're not sure about what today is, it's about having a chat with mates, trust the signs, trust your guts, and ask somebody, are you okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Very, very important thing for lots of different people because conversations can change lives. And we've seen enough things, particularly this week, that it is important to reach out to people. Mm-hmm. It is a huge thing in the ACT. The numbers would dead set stop you in your tracks if you're not aware of them.
Yeah.
So it is a big, big thing to be talking to people and making sure they're okay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. The scariest thing is for me, obviously everyone has ups and everyone has downs.
Mm.
I think back to the downs that I've had in my life.
Mm.
And like the downs, like when you're, it's not just like a bad week or a bad month. Like you're actually
pretty in the hole, yeah.
I've spoken to my friends about that post, like afterwards, after everything's okay. Mm. And I tell them, oh yeah, actually that 3 month period, I was really not doing okay. And they were like, you seemed fine. We had no idea. You weren't acting any different. Mm-hmm. You weren't saying anything different. You weren't like reclusive. You weren't doing anything. It was just the same. And it's kind of scary to think of
it's
it like that.
It's taken me a long time as your best friend to work out when you're not okay because you will. It won't be an outward thing.
But that's what Are You Okay Day is kind of about. If you know someone well enough to know that maybe they're a little bit off kilter or maybe
they're a little bit different.
Maybe, today is especially the day where that nothing has to be wrong.
No.
You just ask.
Yeah. So look, we talked about this 12 months ago.
Yeah.
And I opened up that I have a fair bit of anxiety going on, have had my entire life.
Yep.
When I was I'll just give you a bit of a brief recap. When I was a little boy, I used to just constantly be scared of things, constantly be scared of, like, my mum and dad not being okay, me not being okay, my sister not being okay, just the things that little kids worry about. And I used to be scared of, like, cyclones and stuff I'd see on the news. And it was like, we lived in suburban Melbourne. Pretty, I mean, global warming's effective, but probably pretty unlikely a cyclone's going to hit suburban Melbourne.
It's stuff you'd see in movies.
Exactly. So I'd get freaked out about that sort of stuff. Now, as I've gotten older, the problem is that hasn't gone away.
Yeah.
But what has evolved is the, as I call them, the boogeymen, the thing I'm scared of that is illogical has just gotten more logical.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to be scared of things that make more sense.
Yeah.
You know, and you start to really go down that rabbit hole. Now, I had a really, really rough time of it probably June, July last year.
Yeah.
It was not great. I hadn't been going to therapy. And I decided after that time to start going back to therapy. The problem was I was going to therapy about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'd sort of hit on a few things with the therapist and it was really fantastic. And
stuff to build on.
I'd got some good coping mechanisms and I was thinking to myself, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
The problem is my brain outworked those coping mechanisms.
Yeah. It's so tough because you're working against yourself to try and fix yourself.
I call it my brain kicking my ass.
Yeah.
It's what happens. It truly stunned me and crept up on me that the things I thought I was doing that were positive, I was starting to undo them myself.
Yep.
And I needed to talk to someone again.
Yep.
But it took a lot to get to that point.
It's scary. It's scary saying to someone that you're not okay.
And I think the thing is, the reason I was so bad this, like, sort of June, July last year is I was 27 at the time and was coming to the point of, like, I'm sick of my brain working like this.
Yeah.
I've been trying to fight this thing for 27 years. I'm sick of my brain working like this. And you hit that wall of, I don't want my brain to work like this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a scary rabbit hole to go down.
Yeah.
And so I'm very lucky I had people in my life like you, just a tremendous support network here at work, that I was able to talk to people about that.
Yeah.
And that thought stops there. And then you start thinking about, well, but what next?
Yeah.
If you don't have anyone to talk to, and you're at that point, that's a scary I'm not going to say more than that. It's a scary rabbit hole to go down.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm so lucky I had people in my life to talk to about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what today is about. It's about asking people if they're okay. If you're listening right now and you're thinking, I know the person in my life I should be asking this question to, do it.
Just do it today.
Don't worry if it's going to upset them. Don't worry if it, do it. Just have the chat with them.
Yep.
If you're nervous about how to do it, areyouokay.org.au is where you can go. Because through having conversations last year, I went back to therapy. I've started to learn, and I think something that's really, I'm in a very good spot right now, and I think I've kind of had this weird acceptance of this is probably never going to go away for me.
Yeah, which is scary in itself.
It is very scary, but it's something that trying not to fight it and kill it with fire anymore and just go, you know what, I'm going to have to live with this to a degree. Let's get some new coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
It's been life-changing.
Yeah.
Like, it's been, I'm the happiest I've been in a while. That's thanks to people like you, people like Em. It's just, I'm very lucky to have people to talk to in my life, but not everybody has that.
Yeah,
the last 12 months have been a lot of work to get to this point.
Exactly.
And if you don't have people to work through it with you, that brick wall is scary.
It is.
It's a scary rabbit hole to go down. So what we need everybody to do is if you know someone in your life, you're thinking, I reckon that's who they're referencing, that's who they're talking about, I can picture the person in my life, reach out to them today.
Yeah.
Reach out to them every day. It just doesn't have to be about today, but today is a good reminder that this is an important thing to do regularly.
Exactly right. Think about the last time that you were feeling a little bit sad and how much it would have helped if someone said to you, are you just okay? Is everything all right?
And that's what I've been trying to say the last 5 minutes. This is, I was okay because people like you asked me if I was okay. And that, it's scary to think if that hadn't have happened, how much further deep I could have gotten.
Yep.
So what you need to do is ask people if they're okay today. A conversation could absolutely change your life. areyouokay.org.au is where you go if you want more tips about it.
Yep.
And of course, Lifeline's 13, 11, 14 as always, but they're there, but you're there for your friends.
Exactly right.
Have a chat. Ask, are you okay?
Yep.
You never know. Could be sitting here, like me, pretty much a complete 180 of where I was.
Exactly
June,
right.
June, July last year. So
it starts with a question.
Have a chat.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
For personal injury compensation, there's one team that gives you more. Visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.